It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hey, everybody, this is Greg Gutfeld. This is The One. I'm here today with one of the smartest, greatest doctors in the world to talk about the coronavirus, because you know I've been very concerned about this. Dr. Mark Siegel is a practicing internist and Fox News contributor. He's also associate professor of medicine at NYU Langone Medical Center, and he's the medical director of Doctor Radio with the NYU Langone and Sirius XM Satellite Radio. How are you, Dr. Siegel?
I've been promoted to full professor now.
I'll put that in my notes.
That's because I know you. That's why.
Yeah, I put in a good word with the other doctors. So I have been not freaking out, but I've been kind of ticked off about the reporting, the media reporting of the coronavirus, because I feel like there's like holes in the reporting, and because of our news cycle being so fast, and because Trump creating new news, nobody really even cares about this virus. And I'm wondering, did we get on a late foot on this thing?
Yes, and yes to both. Mm-hmm. Yes, we got in late on this. And yes, there's holes in the reporting. And it, as usual, and I wrote a book about this years ago, some of those holes are deliberate. The idea of getting people to think it's going to happen to them tomorrow raises the ratings. Right. So that's a deliberate hole. And I think that there's a huge difference between what's going on in China and what's going on here in the United States. And where we got a late start is there's a lot of evidence that the Chinese were suppressing information regarding this virus. They knew about it for months. Maybe they hoped it would go away. They didn't bring it to international public health attention right away, and they didn't do what we do here, which is identification, isolation, and contact tracing, all of which is what it sounds like, Greg. You literally trace the contacts of anybody that could have touched this. Now, even with all of that, it may be that it would have been impossible to completely control this virus in an area where the public health infrastructure isn't the same as here. And maybe the supplies aren't the same, and maybe the conditions aren't the same. And to answer your next question, this probably came from a bat. Mm-hmm. And the last two severe coronavirus outbreaks we had, SARS and MERS, both came from bats, and then they jumped from a bat to an intermediate creature. In the case of SARS, it was a civet cat, actually. And we don't know what the intermediate creature is here, but it jumped over to humans, and then it started to change to go human to human. It's a fairly unstable virus. So that's the China situation. Add to that once they realized they were under a spotlight, they panicked and roped off the entire region of 60 million people.
Mm-hmm. But here's my issue is that I saw that, you know, China suspended their flights to America, but they didn't let people into their country, but we continued to let people from China into our country. That doesn't make sense to me. Shouldn't there have been an immediate shutdown of both travel to contain the spread of this so it doesn't become a pandemic? I know that, according to the article in National Review that you read, this isn't specifically a pandemic yet, but it is going to be one.
Yeah, and as, to be fair, as Dr. Gottlieb wrote in the Wall Street Journal today as well, there may be undiagnosed cases around the world, enough of which to call this a pandemic. But that's just a word.
Right.
The word pandemic means sustained spread in more than one country. We know we got enormous spread in China, and we got a little bit of spread here, not enough to call it a pandemic. It will be a pandemic eventually. To your point about travel, you're 100% right. I was going to say that I thought maybe that was due to sensitivity of cultural differences, but I actually think it's probably economic. Once they decided to cut off travel to China, it means billions and billions of dollars lost, and we're in the middle of trade agreements with China. I think that's what it was. Was it good public health? No. Has it cost us yet? Not that I can see. The prodrome for this virus, from when you get infected to when you get sick, is about a week. Everyone says 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks is the longest. It's usually about a week. So the smoke is clearing a week or so later, and we're not seeing 1,000, 2,000 cases. So the chances are that the genie is still in the bottle, at least for now, in terms of spread around the world. But it will get out.
Oh, geez. What do these face masks that I see on the plane and on the street now, are these doing any physical good? I asked you, man, I remember I'm having a deja vu. I asked you about this. Like, should I be wearing a face mask when I'm traveling? Or just on the five? Should I wear a face mask on the five? That's funny, isn't it?
Look, the face masks are beyond absurd.
Yeah.
When I say that it may have sustained spread here eventually, I'm not talking about the flu, which has over 20 million cases here right now in the United States. Respiratory viruses are a problem, and they're worth wearing masks on planes for.
Mm-hmm.
No other reason than to be a barrier against respiratory droplets and somebody coughing and sneezing on you. But the chances of getting coronavirus that way are about as close to zero as it gets. You might as well be wearing a sign on your head saying, I'm nuts, to be wearing a mask in the street.
Really?
Seriously.
Oh, my God. I see it. I downtown, I'd say like now 10% of the pedestrians, and a lot of them are tourists, so maybe so it's absolutely useless when you're outside walking around. Right?
It's absolutely useless when you're outside walking around. Not only that, you probably put it down somewhere, and then it's coated with virus of some kind someone else is touching. By the way, as long as we're on the issue of myths, it's completely fine to order a pair of sunglasses from China right now. Mm-hmm. By the time it gets here, it cannot have any virus on it, I promise you.
How long does a virus live like that on the surface of something?
At most, a day or two. At most. That would be at most. Flu lasts a day or two. This hasn't been well enough studied yet, but it's not going to be any longer than that. No chance. Amazon, you're safe.
Yeah. So I came back from Jesse's wedding about 3 weeks ago, I guess. My wife and I were on a plane. We get off. She becomes, like, violently ill, like crying with pain. And it didn't last that long. It lasted forever, but it was like a night of the flu. And then the next day I woke up, and as you know, I was, like, totally gone. I couldn't go to work. Now, was that the coronavirus or just something else?
Well, so you're making a good point. There may be a lot of undiagnosed cases out there, but I felt that you both had the flu. I think there's a lot of short-term flu around this year. We have a very strange flu season going on, and it hasn't gotten a lot of attention. We have a mild flu virus called an influenza B that we never see at the beginning of the year that we've seen a ton of.
Right.
And it knocks you out very quickly, and then the recovery time, especially with Tamiflu, is pretty quick, too.
Yeah.
I think you probably had the flu. I've seen a lot of respiratory viruses on planes, especially coming from Jesse's wedding.
So let's talk about this. You mentioned it to me that, like, the planes are where you get sick, right? Isn't that kind of what you – yeah, I mean, you didn't say it like that. I'm paraphrasing. But
well, I do think that – I love plane flights, but here's the problem, and it isn't the HEPA filters, which are about 95% effective at screening out viruses and bacteria. Here's why you get sick on planes. One, you get dried out on planes. Your nasal membranes are your number one defense against viruses, and they're dried out. So you got to drink a lot of water on planes. Mm-hmm. Two, those surfaces on planes, you think people haven't been touching them?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of viruses on those surfaces. And third, you're crammed too close together, and somebody is sneezing and coughing on you. So that's why I'm fine with the masks on planes.
All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me ask you this. Is this going to get under control? When do you think it's under control? What do you foresee for the United States? That's three questions. Why don't you – yeah. Because, I mean, if people start dying in the United States – there's going to be hell to pay because the United States didn't act quick enough to shut down the travel. That's my theory, but I could be wrong.
Well, you're usually right.
Thank you.
First of all, the death rate on this is about 1-2% probably, which is about what flu is, which is bad. But we're not seeing enough cases to be seeing that here in the United States. My concern is still China because the quarantining that's going on spreads panic, spreads virus, supply lines being cut off, people cut off from medical facilities. I still got my eyeball on China. CDC is finally going to get to start sending our own officials over there to help out. If we can control it in China, that will be a very, very good sign. Another thing that I want to tell you that's going to be comforting to you is that respiratory viruses don't go on into the summer, hardly ever. So the chances are very high that even if we see another month or two of this, you're going to start seeing this decreased case numbers for sure by the mid to late spring, and you're not going to see it in summer. And then we're all going to breathe a sigh of relief, but it can come back in the fall. So here's what I'm going to say. They are hard at work at a vaccine, several vaccines. There's one vaccine candidate that the NIH is really hot on. And I talked to the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Fauci, yesterday, and he thinks that they could have this done and ready for public use in about a year.
Wow.
Now, you'd like to hear less than a year, but I think they're planning on going full steam on this vaccine anyway, and I don't think we're going to see a lot of cases over the summer. Before then, I think with the great work that CDC is doing, and have you noticed that if President Trump appoints a commission, nobody ever praises it? I mean, you got an incredible director from NIH. You got the head of the CDC, who's a virologist. You have Nancy Messonnier, who's an incredible public health expert, as the head of the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases. All of them, Alex Azar, they've all come together, and I think CDC specifically, Greg, has done a great job of really tracking this at airports and trying to isolate patients that have it.
It's hard. I mean, it's hard to, because the symptoms are delayed, so people could land in LAX and walk through and be seen as healthy, but you can't see the symptoms. Go ahead.
That's why you're so right about travel should have been cut down earlier.
Yeah, me,
what
I know.
What they're doing now, finally, is if you're coming from Wuhan, they put you in quarantine for 2 weeks. That's exactly the right call.
Right.
It should have been done weeks ago.
Yeah, and my other thing is, okay, so whenever we're talking about this on a political show, the liberal will go, well, Trump cut – and maybe this is true, but I don't know. I was wondering if you were Trump reduced the budgets of the the people that deal with pandemics. He's reduced the disease, blah 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 blah. And yet, overall, I've seen the budgets go up. But is there do they have a legitimate point that Trump cut somewhere where we were looking at contagious diseases and we're not as
well? They have a general point about that. That's not inaccurate, but it does not apply to this outbreak. As a matter of fact, by calling this a public health emergency, they immediately mobilize the amount of money they need. We're not lacking in the money to get this to happen. Mm-hmm. What we didn't have before was access, and they've been trying to negotiate with China for the last week or two to get our own people in there.
Right.
And it's not a magic to it. We're just very good at this, and everybody knows the CDC is good at this, but it's an international health, and now that both the World Health Organization and the United States have called this an international emergency, there's going to be more boots on the ground in China. That's what we need. We need more resources, more funding, more in China than here, actually. Here, CDC is all over this.
Is the coronavirus – I'm going to ask dumb questions now. The coronavirus, is that a generic term? Like there are other viruses within – like there's different types of it? Or is it a specific –
I'll answer that. Greg, isn't this novelistic? The coronavirus.
Yeah, it's got a good name for a movie. They all sound scary. Remember the Zika virus, and that's still around. Zika's still around, right?
Right, Zika's still around, but it's not on our radar right now. And it turned out to be fairly mild, except of course we were right to warn everybody because of pregnant women getting it.
Yes,
and causing a. But here's the thing about coronavirus is a term for a group of viruses that includes the common cold, actually.
Okay.
But the kind of coronaviruses we're talking about have more severe symptoms than the common cold. Most of them are found in mammals. They're found in very strange mammals also.
Right.
Things like bats, things like camels, things like rodents, things like civet cats. Now, in this case, it's a bat where it starts. There's a lot of strange practices in China, including eating some of these animals raw, and that spreads the virus.
Right.
But the coronaviruses circulate in animals, and then once they pass to humans, they got to undergo a mutation to travel easily from human to human. And unfortunately, this is a pretty unstable virus.
Yeah. Do you predict people will die in the United States from this? I'm not trying to be panicky. I'm just kind of I want whoever listens to this to be concerned over the consequences of not acting on behalf of the public sooner. That's all I care about, is that, like, if you could have just done this sooner, we could prevent death. But I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking. Maybe I'm filled with too much hyperbole. I don't know.
I think you're actually, for a hyperbolic guy, you're extremely very, very serious and scientific.
Oh, thank you.
So I like the way you're approaching this. I think that as we go over 100 cases in the United States, the chances get higher that someone will die from this. I would not be surprised if we have a few deaths from this, but I would caution everybody out there before we do the same media hyperbole. And again, I wish I don't want anybody dying from this, but if a few people die from this, let's not take attention away from the flu, which has already seen over 10,000 deaths in the United States this year.
Yeah, the only argument against that is we don't know enough about this one. It could be worse, but we just don't know.
It's not, though. Well, okay, so that's a really good question, and the answer is, here's the answer.
Okay.
There's a ship in Japan right now that's got 10 people that we know have a coronavirus, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's been quarantined, this ship, Greg, and it has over 2,000 people on it and then another 1,000 worker, whatever. It's about 3,000 people.
Got it.
We're monitoring that situation very closely. Well, if you had a norovirus on a ship, that terrible GI bug, everybody on the ship gets it, right?
Yes, yeah.
We're going to see how many people on that ship get this virus from those 10 people. That is going to tell us how contagious it is.
Interesting.
How deadly is it? We have an idea from what's happening in China that it's about 1-2% deadly, and that it affects mostly older people and people that have chronic diseases. Mm-hmm. Now, that's hardly a comfort if you're older with a chronic disease, and it is something that's potentially deadly. But again, it doesn't look like we're learning more and more about it as we go.
Yeah, it's there's some frightening video. I don't trust anything I see on social media, but there is a montage of disturbing videos from China of bodies in hallways. Doctors and nurses breaking down and tired, and it honestly looks like a zombie film in which they're overcome with they can't seem to fight this off. And I'm just wondering how accurate. And then a reporter who covers it then disappears, and it lends itself to a really disturbing narrative, I guess.
Let me cut through that.
Yeah.
I do believe that the doctors and nurses and medical professionals there are vastly overworked and fatigued. I believe that that is accurate. I do believe that they built two coronavirus hospitals very quickly, and very hastily, but they had to.
Yeah.
I do believe that there's people out there that are sick that are cut off from supply lines, and I do believe we don't have enough testing in China, and we don't have enough ability to isolate people who are sick in China. That is not the same thing as saying there are bodies in the hallways.
Right.
That's probably a social media effort. I think people are not getting the care they need to the degree they need them, and I think the medical situation is overworked and undersupplied.
Yeah. Well, to think that you're on a cruise ship and you become like a medical experiment, like, because it becomes something that you can now gauge because it's a control group, I guess, not a control group, but it's a group of people. So they're not allowed to like come back for a period of time. They're just stayed out on the ship.
It's like Love in the Time of Cholera. You remember that book? You just float around at sea. I mean, you're right. It's terrible to be part of an experiment when you spend thousands of dollars to pay for all of this.
Yeah. But as long as you survive, that's an important part. Yeah.
You know, I'm not implying that I'm happy that happened. I'm just saying that we can learn something from it. It's terrible for people on that ship.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they're going to catch coronavirus. My point is that if they properly isolate them, they may very well. I don't think it's as contagious as you think. I think what's really contagious here is the fear of coronavirus. Coronavirus itself is contagious. It is concerning. It is problematic. And we don't have a vaccine for it. And that makes us go completely panicked, and I think that panic doesn't help us.
Yeah. The thing is, though, I'm going to use my I coined this philosophy, Dr. Siegel, and you will find it brilliant. I don't believe in the prison of two ideas. The prison of two ideas would say, look, don't panic or panic. I think there's a place in between, and I think those are the prison of two ideas, and I think that you and I kind of exist in the middle there, and that is like I think that this is one of those cases where we should have acted sooner, but I'm not panicking. I'm just pissed. Does that make sense?
So here's the thing. A, I completely agree with your characterization. I would add, if I were in a coronavirus hospital in Wuhan right now today, I might panic.
Yeah.
But if I'm on the streets of San Francisco today, I'm much more worried about, you know, the homeless problem than I am about the coronavirus problem. And I think people have to get that in their heads, mm-hmm. that they don't need to wear masks. It is not here yet.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it isn't coming, though.
Yeah, there's that infamous word, yet. That, you know how many, Jim, many news stories are based on that word, yet? It's almost as common as some say it hasn't reached the coast yet, but it could. And then when they throw to some quasi-expert, and then he goes, we don't know, we don't have the facts yet, but some say, and then that guy throws back to another person, and it's like this never-ending daisy chain of speculation. Drives me crazy.
Well, listen.
You don't drive me crazy, doctor. You're always...
You're not crazy. I have a last line for you.
Sure.
Before you wallpaper the room with those black and white photos from the 1918 Spanish flu,
yeah.
Dr. Siegel says, this will not kill us all.
Okay. That's very heartening. It won't kill us all. I don't know how many, a couple million.
It's not going to spread like wildfire. It will be contained. We will get control of it. It will become a problem here. We will be able to solve the problem.
All right, Doc. I hope not to see you soon. That always means there's something wrong. Hey, Doc, I need you to look at my foot. And you're like, all right, Gutfeld. And you go sit in the green room. You look at whatever ailment I have, and then you send me on my way.
You're pretty healthy there, Greg.
I'm trying my best. You know, I think I look – I don't. I look the same. That's how I feel.
Yeah, you look young.
Thank you. I was fishing for a compliment.
Well, you look young, you look hardy, you're in good shape, you work out, you're fighting off any virus that might be in the air. Most likely it would be the flu.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know, doctor. Always a pleasure talking to you, and you are very helpful.
My pleasure. Anytime, Greg. It's a pleasure.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.